CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time answering questions about the Bible from the Bible. We just want to encourage you to give us a call. If you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, confused a little bit about all the things going on in the news, or you just went to church and wonder what in the world were they talking about? Hey, that's why we like to get together and tell you what the Bible really says about those topics. And so if you got a question, again, 888-ASK-CSN. We got some lines open. You're sure to get on if you call right now. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker. Weekends, we have with us Greg Blanc from Calvary Chapel, Rapid City, South Dakota. Hi, welcome.
Great to be on the program with you again today, Mike, and great to, it's always wonderful just to chat with the with all the team of listeners. We have some really smart listeners who ask some incredible questions, and I'm always impressed by just how well educated people are. And I think a lot of that education comes from listening to CSN, because how many times have we had questions? We the listening audience, not necessarily you, Mike, but we the listening audience, and had somebody else ask a question that we're saying, I always wanted to know what that was. So kudos to the listeners. And Mike, are things getting crazier and crazier out there? Lawlessness is certainly abounding. It's Matthew 24.
Amen. You know, this story that just came across, it's been finally released a little bit, where the ATF gunned a guy down in his own home in Little Rock, Arkansas, who was the head of the airport, the Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport there in Little Rock, Arkansas. And as the head of the ATF was being grilled by Congress, the song and dance that came out asking why there was no body cameras on the ATF agents, why they put tape over this individual's house, a front door camera. There was never an announcement that they were going, this is the ATF and we're coming in. They just broke the door down. Of course, the man upstairs with his wife hears the commotion, grabs a shotgun, walks down the stairs, fires a shot because he saw intruders. They shot and killed him in the head right in his own home. This is the Joe Biden legal administration going on right now, everyone. The American news media is covering this story up with everything they can. You need to watch it. This is not conspiracy theory. This is absolute being gunned down in your own home. As you watch Congress grill the head of the ATF, simple yes and no questions. Oh, you're not going to get a yes or no answer from the government. No, it's a song and dance and around the mulberry bush. I was absolutely appalled. I talked to a couple of my friends that say, this is absolutely communist KGB stuff now, and you need to watch it. Everybody, you can just Google it. ATF guns down head of the airport, Little Rock, Arkansas. It will just make you weep. It shows you how bad our legal system is now. All the people that were good have now been replaced with environmentalists and all these people that haven't got a clue what they're doing. Watch it. I'm telling you, you need to understand just how far. This is not conspiracy. They actually show the video, that they had the video on their camera with them coming up. I'll tell you, I told everybody this. If their kangaroo courts do this to a president, Donald Trump, where does that leave all of us? Well, friends, just watch it. Watch the Congress grill the ATF. over murdering this guy's husband in his own home. You know, it's interesting. The guy had no criminal record. Again, he was the head of their airport there. He made like $250,000 a year. They could have went out, drove out, picked him up. Hey, no big deal. No, they were doing this, most people believe, to execute him. Why? Well, when you watch it, you're going to see something absolutely horrendous. Share it with every single person you know, and especially anybody that's in the liberal camp, to show them just where their criminal justice system now is. And again, they do this to presidents. They do this to people that are head of airports. Where does that leave all of us? Friends, move over, Gestapo state. We're now here. And you need to be aware of the days that we live in. Work for the night is coming when no one can work. I don't know how much longer we will exist as a nation. And again, you've got to watch this. Again, Little Rock, Arkansas, ATF guns man down. It is absolutely appalling. Watch the, and when you see it, watch the part of it where it is being reviewed by Congress, and they're saying, why did you do this? And no answer. No answer that's honest. They're yes, no questions, and they can't answer it. Typical liberals. Anyway, check it out. I think you'll really be amazed. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We're going to Brian, Woodstock, Georgia. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My question is, I hear from some of my non-church friends. I guess we've all heard it, but they're like you had even said in a previous program, that nobody is outside of God's love and forgiveness, no matter what they've done. And then they say, amen. Well, what about Hitler? Well, I mean, if he really, that's not fair. Would Hitler, asked Jesus in his heart right before he died, would he be in heaven?
The answer is yes. You see, a lot of times we are the ones that are gauging how bad sin is. How many murders do you got to commit to be a murderer? Just one. How many things do you got to steal to be a thief? Just one thing. How many cuss words do you have to say to be profane? Just one. So big or small. And Paul says, as sinners, I am chief. As he went around arresting Christians to be executed, he realized what he was. He was a persecutor of those righteous back in his day. And yet God not only forgave him, but used him in a great way. Your thoughts, Greg?
Isn't the beauty of the gospel just
unbelievable? Well, it's actually unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I was getting there. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It just doesn't compute in my barely break and triple digits, mind. But yes, if somebody has a sincere commitment, and I think that we need to make sure that God only knows if somebody's, if you're truly confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe it in your heart, you know, we'll be saved. I often think of what Jesus did with the woman caught in the act of adultery. You know, number one, Jesus to the rescue, right? All these people adultery was a death penalty sentence if you're caught in the act. And all these looky-loo Pharisees, they wanted to bust her. No mention of where the guy was to be committing adultery. I think there needs to be two. But he just leads down and he just starts writing in the dirt and they peel off. You know, you are without sin. You know, you cast the first stone and they peel off. The oldest to the youngest, they peel off. And then he looks at this woman. And he looked at her I'm sure he looked at her with compassion and grace, but yet firm. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, well, there are none. And he says, neither do I condemn you. But then he said, go and sin no more. So that's what really tells if you have truly made a commitment, if there is repentance, and if you have stopped what you're doing and go in the opposite direction. So that is an excellent question, Brian. I hope we've given you some information that will help you when you're talking to your friends.
Now, Brian, let me share this with you, though. If somebody like Adolf Hitler does not repent, there is degrees of punishment in hell. Jesus said some will be beaten with many stripes and some with few. So I believe that people like that, that have not had their sins forgiven, will have this giant judgment against them. And whether it's Adolf Hitler or Charles Darwin or people that teach Darwinism,
Joseph
that know
Smith.
It's not true. You know, maybe at one time you could have taught it, but now that they can't find any transitional life forms, the DNA, of course, what we know about DNA does not let things transmutate. All these kinds of things. There's always mutations, but not transmutations. Cats don't become dogs, and that's what we're talking about here. A person that started a cult 100 years ago, and maybe there was, a couple dozen followers, and now there's millions. No, there's going to be a judgment day for those that have not accepted Christ as their Savior. Those sins will stand throughout all of eternity, and people who started these things will give an account. That is why when someone dies, they do not go to the great white throne judgment. They go to a place called Sheol, which is torment, awaiting the great white throne judgment, at least somewhere north of 1,007 years as we speak right now. You got a 7-year tribulation period and 1,000-year reign of Christ. The white throne judgment takes place after that. The books are open and everybody will be judged according to what they've done. Everybody's works will have come to full fruition. Just because a person that started a cult dies doesn't mean that his wickedness isn't translated down through the different ages and different generations. No, I believe that there's a tremendous judgment, Brian, that they will face if they're not forgiven. That's why the Bible says how happy the man is whose sins are forgiven. Boy, I'll tell you how important that is. Brian, hope that helps.
Hey, man, thank you. It does. It does.
Whether our sins are small or great, God forgives us all of them. But if they are not forgiven, the Bible says we will be judged according full fruition for what we've done. Stay online, Brian, saying you have some books, some DVDs, and a great question. Thanks for listening. And if you have any more, hey, please call us back. Let's go to Carolyn, South Carolina. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My question is, I've been reading through the Bible, and I've gotten to the book of Song of Solomon, which I've read many times before. But my question is, who is that woman, the wife, that Solomon is describing in that book? I know that some of that stands for God's love for us and Christ in the church, but it is a real person. And with him having had so many wives, who is that one wife? And if she was so wonderful and had such a relationship, why so many other wives?
Why do you need more than one? Yeah, because those who are listening, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. If you do the math, he kisses his bride and says, well, honey, I'll see you in 3 years. I'll be back in 3 years for your turn. You stop to think about it. 360 days in a year, roughly, 1,000 wives. It's just almost 3 years, to make the rounds. Wow. That's crazy. Your thoughts,
Caroline? That's a great question. I think that that every person who has read through the book of Song of Solomon has wondered. You know, I'm sure what a great role model that might be. You know, for some gals, but we don't know. You know, a lot of people, they'll write whole books on saying who it was. I know that I remember hearing years ago that somebody thought it was Pharaoh's daughter. And some people say, you know, maybe it's one of the women from Schumann, or that Schumann might also mean Salem, as in Jerusalem. But there's just way too much speculation on who it was. But the principles are very clear. Her name, or Shulamite, it means peaceful. And how great is it when you have a peaceful husband and you have a peaceful wife? What a great covenant! What a great contract they can have in marriage. But 700 wives and 300 porcupines? No, 300 concubines. That's what was the wisest man, right? We all know Solomon. He's listed as the wisest and the richest man who ever lived. And yet we also know that he didn't practice a lot of the wisdom that that he left for us in the book of Proverbs and Solomon. So Mike?
Amen. And, you know, as we talked yesterday about when the Hebrews would read scripture, it's obviously what it's saying. It's spiritual application and it's future application. And much of what we see there in the book of Song of Solomon is a picture type of, I believe, the Lord towards the church. Thou art all fair, my beloved. There is no spot in thee. You know, it's interesting the way God sees us, oftentimes so much different than the ways we see ourselves or even each other. And I see in God's heart, this, that, you know, we see through such a glass darkly. We really do. You know, none of us speaking right now have been to heaven. None of us have seen Jesus face to face. But yet we love him. We want to serve him. We want to go to where he's at. And I believe this holds great honor to God. Well, you figure the angels who kept not their first estate. They saw the majesty of God. They saw the immense power of God, and yet chose to rebel against him. This one, the Bible says, he made humans a little lower than the angels, but those that choose to love him, he'll elevate above the angels and call him his bride. And in that bride, we find a pretty good description, I think, of the relationship, a true relationship that God would like to have with us. And I think some of it is outlined there in the book of Song of Solomon. I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you.
God bless you, Carolyn. And again, I believe you had to be 30 years old and married as a rabbi to read Song of Solomon. There's places there that are descriptive, that are describing something else. So anyway, it's an interesting book indeed. But you know, I really believe that, again, aside from a reflective of the church, it's a reflective of the way we should be. And what's interesting when you ask that, who is he speaking of? I believe that he's speaking there of the way that a man should love a woman, not many women. And so it tells me that in the writing of Song of Solomon, Solomon knew better. He knew better than to multiply wives unto himself. He knew better than to do the things that he was doing. You know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And you know, by our own words, oftentimes we are condemned. And so I think that when you look at this and you see the way Solomon realized a man and a woman should be together, only to find him, I don't want to say double dipping, but you might say 700 times plus 300, it shows that though Solomon was the wisest man, the Bible said, that lived, not speaking of Jesus, of course, but that it shows that even in all that wisdom, the frailty and the fallacy of man. When we look at Solomon, we see the richest man that ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived, and yet we find his folly. So the answer then is not in riches, it is not in power, it is not in money, but it's in God. And this is why I believe it's so important to learn from other people's mistakes. We can't live long enough to make them all ourselves. Carolyn, stay online if you like. Send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll enjoy them.
Thank you.
God bless you. If you need us, we're here for you. Give us a call. Let's go to Carol, Spanish Springs, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I have a very simple question. I wanted to know what happened with J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. I just learned recently that he disaffiliated with Calvary Chapel. So what happened? I loved his prophecy updates. Do you know what was going on?
I don't know. I know quite a few different Calvaries have changed their names, and I think there's a lot of confusion. When Brian Broderson took over Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, upon Chuck Smith's death about 10 years ago, Brian took the Calvary movement in a completely different direction, I believe, than the direction that it was going. And I think many different Calvaries followed Brian, but most of them did not. And I think there's a real issue right now with the differences, using the same name, but with completely different doctrines. And even many of the Calvary chapels that followed Calvary Costa Mesa do not hold really to Calvary Chapel's doctrine. The idea of once saved, always saved. That is not a doctrine that Chuck Smith ever taught. He taught the opposite to it. Occasionally I'll play a To Every Man an Answer that was recorded with myself and Chuck Smith about 2002, where somebody calls in and asks this question, and he completely debunks the idea of once saved, always saved. Yet many Calvary chapels today are teaching things that back when Chuck was alive, you'd be disfellowshipped for. So I think that there's a lot of people that, because of the confusion, I think are distancing themselves from the Calvary Chapel, whichever Costa Mesa gang or, well, I'm glad you're with us today. Greg, tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, everybody loves J.D. We all know J.D. He's been a Calvary Chapel pastor for a quarter of a century. And I'm with you, sister. You know, I love his prophecy. I love his prophecy updates. I know that he, like many of us, when early on in the COVID days, we all, something smells funny about all this stuff. So we didn't buy into it. And he was very vocal. I was very vocal. Mike probably was too. Yeah. A lot of us pastors were saying that this isn't lining up at all. And especially when it came out and it was actually reported that only a very small number of the people were actually dying from COVID, and most were dying with 2.6 comorbidities. Everybody knew at that point that this was a lie. And I think JD, like a lot of us, I don't fault him at all. You know, a lot of us got frustrated that lots of the Calvary guys didn't make a greater stand. But then we did, you know, when Jack Gibbs came along and he gathered 500, I think it was like 500 pastors in California, because California was, they went full on Gestapo with not allowing you to be able to sing, in church. They wouldn't,
without
they
a
wouldn't
mask.
Without a mask. And they would only let, so many people, in the building, and that you had to require getting every person's information, you know, who came in, if you were going to open up your church. So JD saw all this going down. And I don't want to speak for him. I think you can go online. If you go to his website, I would imagine, that he has made his letter public because, because I remember, Calvary Chapel pastors have a pastor's forum that many of the Calvary guys are on. And we got the information directly 2 or 3 weeks ago, when it all went down. But from what I understand, he is still abiding by Pastor Chuck's teaching, by Calvary Chapel distinctives. And in the big picture, who cares what the name is over the building? Are you teaching the whole counsel of God? And that's what I'm committed to. Before I'm committed to Calvary, you know, I've been a Calvary guy for almost 35 years, and I love my band of brothers. And if one peels off or two peels off, because the Lord, you know, they feel the Lord tells them to, then that be warm, be filled, do what you feel God's calling you to do. But I'm staying with CCA because, we haven't really, you know, we're sticking to Calvary Chapel distinctives and not going the way that, that Pastor Mike was talking about a few minutes ago. Mike?
Hope that helps.
Oh, it does. I love Calvary, too. It just broke my heart when I heard it because I didn't know the detail.
Yeah. No, and that's something that you know, you find, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm looking for a good church. Well, you'd like to just say, well, just go to, you know, the First Church of the Good down on the corner. But the problem is, depending on where you're at and the pastor behind the pulpit, depends on whether that church is really following God's word or not. It doesn't matter what the name brand is on the church. And this is what the problem is. A lot of people trust more in the name brand than they do in the Bible and what the Bible says. So I tell everybody, just find a good Bible-believing church. Find one that follows it. You know, Mike McIntosh years ago was Calvary Chapel San Diego, changed his name to Horizon Fellowship. Greg Laurie was Calvary Chapel of Riverside, changed his name to Harvest Christian Fellowship. And many others, John Corson, again, up in Grants Pass, Oregon. Calvary, but not using the name. And so, understanding that, we just trust Jesus, not necessarily name brands. I think you stand a little better chance with some name brands, but I think again, we just got to be careful. Carol, I hope that answered it for you. Stay in line. Send you out some books, some DVDs. And that little song means we're coming up on a break. We don't want anyone to go away. When we come back, we're going to have a whole lot more. So don't go away. And we'll be right back right after this.
Preborn is making Mother's Day possible 280,000 times and more.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies every day by introducing mothers to their preborn babies. You see, when a woman considering abortion meets her precious baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life. To learn more about their life-saving work, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Greg Blanc from Calvary Chapel, Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we're going to go back to the phones. We have Chuck on the line in Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Mike. Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you again. Hey, last night we were just wrapping up. My wife and I host a Bible study, and we were hoping to get through Romans as far as timing goes by the end of this season, but we never seem to be able to get through more than a chapter, which is, you know, great. That's how much God helps us, you know, break down the his precepts and whatnot. So last night we ended up wrapping up in 12. Oh, man, what a great place to wrap up this season. But there was a sentence in there in chapter 12, verse 13, and my friend that was sitting next to me, he goes, so was that, is that just the Lord's people, like who Paul was addressing the letter to, or would that be everybody? And I said, well, you know, we are all the Lord's people. He gave us life. I mean, we have what we have because of the Lord. But it definitely raised some curiosity with a couple of people. So it just says, as he's talking to them about the part love and action, he says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. And of course, he'd been talking to, you know, the Romans just before that. But I thought that's such a general type of question, share with the Lord's people. So just curious what you thought, and I'll share it with my buddy later tonight. Curious what you thought.
Well, of course, we have a collective calling as a body, as a Bible study, as a church, and we have individual calling individually. If you see your brother in need, you feed him. Now, the other part of that is sometimes it's a collective ministry of a church where it's much larger than that. I know in Hawaii, several churches here in the Hilo area, they go out and feed the homeless a couple times a month. And they just go down, cook up a dinner for the might be the only good meal they even get a month, share the gospel with them, give them tracts of Bible if they want that. And they reach out to them where they're at. Now, it would be very difficult for one person to do that. But oftentimes, depending on what the situation is, you've got a next door neighbor that, you know, fell off the steps, broke his leg, and you bring him some food over or mow his lawn for him. I believe that is the individual part. And then, of course, we have the collective part, God's people. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was just looking that up in Romans, and it says distributing. I think it says distributing in the New King James, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And so, yeah, he's calling out a specific group. And the first correlating verse that I think of is Galatians 6:10 that says, "Therefore, as you have opportunity, do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." And so there's, just like you would take care, like Pastor Mike said, we are to show generosity and grace to all people, but there's a special bond. And I wish more Christians would realize this. You know, we're going to be spending eternity together. We should be extending uber grace to one Amen. Another constantly. It just seems like sometimes we're kinder to people outside the body of Christ than we are to those who also name Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I agree with what Mike said. We should. We're commanded, actually, to do good to all. And Jesus said, you're always going to have the poor with you. But when it comes to these specific precepts about distributing to the needs of the saints, and I don't know. Well, Mike, I'll get your input. What do you think about that? Is there a biblical understanding of generosity starts at home, or giving starts at home, you know, within the body of Christ? Is there anything to that? Should we start there? You know,
I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't know.
When Jesus gave the Great Commission to preach the gospel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the outermost parts of the world. So there was a command basically to take care of home plate. And then from there, as you establish your ministry, you begin to expand. I think that if we're too busy to go help the person next door, as I said earlier, that broke his leg, then I wouldn't expect a whole lot more out of anything else. Because again, we have to have an eye for those. Now here's something really important, everybody. And please, if you're in the Pentecostal world, I just really beseech you to listen to what I want to share with you right now. The major chapter on the power of the Holy Spirit is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. It is wedged between the two other most powerful chapters on the gifts of the Spirit, chapters 12 and chapter 14. The gifts of the Spirit, chapter 12, the proper use of them in chapter 14. But the greatest of these, chapter 13, is love. Now, let me explain why. By nature, we don't care about other people. We don't. That's part of what being selfish is. It's me first. I'm the top dog. And when we become born again, I have found that old sin nature still resides in us of being selfish. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes into a believer's life, the first things I look for is love and boldness. Not if they can speak in tongues, not if they can stand up and preach a sermon. It's love is the key thing to know. And I've seen people who can talk in tongues and could care less about their next door neighbor. Let me explain a little closer here. By nature, we don't care if someone goes to hell. In fact, what? That person's going to hell? Good. I think they should go. That person's a bad person. That's the old sin nature talking. Because you see, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, saw them as a sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, had compassion on them. Now again, this is a move of God inside of us to give us a love for the lost and to see their need in order to respond to make their life better. And again, it's through that beloved, it's the goodness of God that causes a man to repent. I've heard a lot of people kind of get out there a little bit on that verse, but the goodness of God is what causes a man to repent. The goodness of God oftentimes is seen through people who love him. Those that are reaching out to somebody that's next door saying, well, gee, that's something you don't see every day. Look, he's over there mowing his lawn. And the other guy's just sitting there on the couch with his foot in a cast. See, that shows love. That where you go, wow, God, you love me. Your people love me. And that changes me. So I believe that has a lot to do with it. And so, again, that boldness of love for the lost, that gift of love for the lost, the boldness to speak why I'm doing these things. You can give cups of cold water all day long to people, but unless you tell them why you're giving them the cup of cold water, they don't know whether you're just a great humanitarian or someone that really loves God. I hope that helps, Chuck.
No, that was really good. Me and a couple friends, I think I shared with you before, we go out to make lunches and hygiene bags and all that. And I got to say that when they're, you know, they're appreciating that, and especially when they're appreciating, or I guess willing to listen to something from God's word, I sometimes wonder, it's like, Lord, I think you blessed me more than you did them, because of how good it feels, number one, to serve, but also to see the blessing that was also upon them. And so it fills your heart with warmth, and it's also just, it's just awesome. But it's just the way that it was written there, and I love that. But just because it says share with the Lord's people who are in need, I just wondered, is he kind of prioritizing that in his letter here? But I know we are to do that if we have the Holy Spirit in us. But it helps.
I believe absolutely. I believe absolutely we take care of home base, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the world. You see, we've got to take care of our own. Again, the love of the brethren is so important. This is why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He loved them. He wanted to see them get straightened out. He wanted not just to see their physical needs met, but he wanted to see their spiritual needs met as well. So I believe that's really important. And then when the body is healthy, then we can go out and minister to a lost and dying world. And I think that's so important. And then again, Chuck, remember this. When you're out ministering to people, great is your reward in heaven. Because you never want to lose sight of the heavenly prize to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. So important. Hope that helps.
Yeah, amen. That's really good. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you guys' input always. Appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs. Great to share with your friends. If you need more, let me know. Let's go to Lanati, I believe it is, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, pastors. Thank you for taking my call.
I just have a question. I did something for myself, and I was seeking out a Christian therapist. So I wanted to know if that's something biblical to do.
Well, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And I got to share this with you too. There's not wisdom in a multitude of people. I think a lot of people get that mixed up there. There's a lot of confusion in a multitude of people. But you know, when you get around people that are gifted in the way of counseling and things like that, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. It's something that probably really that you should be able to get there at your church through women's ministry or the pastors or the staff there. Your thoughts?
Well, I would Christian counseling has a pretty wide barometer to it, and I've seen some people that have been helped through going to a Christian counselor, and some that it has actually retarded their spiritual growth. It's kept them from growing. So, Leilani, I think, well, it all depends on the person that you're seeing. I would encourage you not just go to a Christian counselor, but go to a biblical Christian counselor who is giving you biblical counseling and not just some therapeutic ideas with Bible verses attached to them. Leilani, does that make sense to you?
Yes, I actually just started the first session today, and we began with prayer and ended in prayer. She prayed for me.
Okay, did she break out a Bible? That's what I'm asking. Did she break out a Bible, and did she point you to the Word of God?
No, you know, this was our first session, so we were, you know, she was just asking me questions about myself, and she said some things about herself and who she is. So, and she gave me a homework. She said something about a tree, and I need to put, you know, who I am in those pages.
Well, and so, you know, I'm gonna reiterate kind of what Pastor Mike, the direction that Pastor Mike was going in. Do you belong to a Christian church? Do you belong to a good, healthy, well-balanced Bible believing, Bible teaching church?
No, since the pandemic, that has been, you know, it hasn't been good for me. I can't find a good church. I'm in Las Vegas.
Oh, there are some great churches in Las Vegas. I think there's three or four Calvaries there, and you don't have to go to a Calvary, but you need to be in fellowship. And one of the benefits from being in a community of believers and being in the body of Christ is that you will have access to that pastoral staff. And I'm not telling you not to go to this person that you went to today or yesterday, but at least in addition, go and get plugged in and get some good, strong biblical counseling. And maybe this gal that you met with, maybe that's her plan. But I'll tell you this, when Mike counsels somebody or if I counsel somebody, we're in the Bible in the first 10 minutes, even if it's somebody that I've never met before, I'm taking them to what God's word says, because God's word is infallible. And my experience and my theory in counseling, that can be beneficial, but it's not going to be more beneficial than the giving somebody the life-changing power in the Word of God. Pastor Mike, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a Calvary Chapel, Red Rock. If you look that up on your phone, like do a little search, Calvary Chapel, Red Rock. I know some people who go there, very sweet people, and I would recommend that as a good place to try. And if it's a little too far to drive, then certainly you can talk to the pastor there or their staff. Is there a church that maybe not necessarily Calvary, because there's a lot of really good churches out there that he knows of close to your house? Because again, you know, when you go to a therapist, dear, unfortunately, you know, they usually don't do that for free. And you know, the Bible says that, you know, that we need fellowship. And I hate to see people pay for something that really the Bible says should be part of your normal Christian diet. So I hope that helps.
Okay. What do you guys think about Calvary Paradise? That's closer to me.
Is that a Calvary Chapel?
Yes, Calvary Chapel Paradise. I think that's what they are.
Yeah, I would try there. I would go there, sure. There's several of them. I don't know all of them there.
Spring Valley, Calvary Chapel, Spring Valley.
Spring Valley. I actually went with Calvary Chapel of Spring Valley in 1993 to Tonga. And with them, I built a radio station in Tonga with some of the help from Calvary Chapel, Spring Valley, Nevada, which is Las Vegas. I think that's there's several good options there for you, but I just hate to see you have to pay for something that really is part of what we all need in the body of Christ. We all need somebody to talk to. I don't want to be talking to somebody on a bar stool. I want to be talking to somebody that at least knows God and has sensitivity to God. And certainly, there's women's groups there that you can go and, you know, so many ladies, they need to get together because us guys are pretty clunky sometimes and we can say and be pretty insensitive to a woman's needs. And so I think a lot of times being with good godly women, good godly counsel helps us get things back in focus again, gets our life back in focus again, because we have many, many needs. All of us do, from raising kids to, cranky bosses to cranky spouses. Hey, this is why God gave us the body of believers, and to be isolated by yourself and then have to pay, $50 an hour for somebody to talk to, that's part of really being a Christian, and that's free, and that's part of the enjoyment of the saints. And sometimes what we used to love to do after church on Sunday night or Sunday morning or Wednesday night, we'd all go out to our local restaurant and descend upon them, and for a couple hours even after church we'd all fellowship and have talk about different things. So but you need that, dear. You need fellowship in your life, and that through that fellowship, you meet your friends, you build your acquaintances, and all those other things that come along with that. So I hope that helps.
And can I ask you guys to pray for me? I just started smoking about a year ago, so I quit 14 years prior to that, but I just went back.
You gotta stop that. That's bad for you, and it costs so much money. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you in Jesus' name that you would direct our sister here to a church where people will love her and help her, not take advantage of her, but God help her. And Lord, these things that she's trying to do to fill an emptiness inside of her, like smoking and whatever else things, I just pray that you would take those things away from her and you would give her the real, not the artificial. And so I pray that you put friends around her, God, that love her and that want to help her and take care of her. And Lord, it's something we all need. And so that she also can be friends to those there in fellowship as well. So may you bless her, guide her footsteps, keep her in your love in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that helps, dear.
Yes, it did. Thank you.
God's good. I know it'll help. And, you can check out a couple of different churches. I mean, like I say, you can check out Calvary Paradise. You can check out Red Rock. There's, and maybe Nazarene Church, Assembly of God, Foursquare, we just want to grow in the Lord. And, where you hear God's word taught, that's what's going to make so much difference. But you need fellowship in your life. That's what it sounds to me that your whole being is really crying out for it. And that's something that God will and can do in church, in fellowship. So stay on the line, Darren, if you like. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs, and anything else you need, you call us, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. If you need us, we're here. Let's go to Linda, McDowell, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I have a question about the pre-trib rapture.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of Christians that don't believe that there's going to be a pre-trib rapture. And I was wondering, if it's pre-trib and they don't believe in it, are they going to get raptured or left behind?
Very good question. I believe that God is good, and I think he'll take his church home. Now, I want to say this, though, and I say this very, very carefully. I believe if you're a minister teaching that there is no rapture, that Jesus isn't coming, can't come to the middle or the end of the tribulation, or he's not coming at all, I'm not sure about that individual. Let me say and tell you why. Because in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, Jesus says in verse 12, and this again, Revelation 22, 12, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." If you tell people as a minister, no, Jesus isn't coming quickly, he's not coming at all, you are taking away from God's word. And if you read the subsequent verses there, God will take your name out of the book of life. So it's one thing to believe something wrong because you were taught and you just haven't quite grown up enough to know the difference. It's another thing to teach people wrong what the word of God says. Look, I didn't say it. Very clearly, he says here in verse 12, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." Oh, no, Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. He's not coming back. Be careful, because if you read farther down, it talks about those. It says, "For I testify, who hears the words of this prophecy, but if anyone adds to these things," like, no, he's not coming back, "God will add to him the plagues written in this book." And verse 19, "If anyone takes away the words of this book of prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life." Which tells me you had to be saved to get your name taken out of the book of life. That's pure first grade logic. And so if a minister is teaching people contrary to God's word, that I believe is different. Your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, what we believe doesn't change what God says his will is. So whenever I talk to somebody who doesn't believe that the preponderance of the biblical support leads in the direction of a pre-trib, pre-mill rapture, I just look at them and smile and say, "I'll explain it to you on the way up," you know, because they're not going to be left behind. Exactly what Mike said. That's all I've got to add, Pastor Mike.
Yeah, I think that people that, you know, just go, but I think, you know, the Bible says God holds what we teach as pastors to a higher level.
Oh, yeah, for
and
pastors,
if you're teaching people that there is no rapture, that if you're teaching people that, oh, he doesn't come to the middle of the tribulation when Jesus said, "I can come at any moment," they're rebuking Christ. And I got a real problem with that. Now, I want to clarify something. I'm not a judge. I'm just a guy that reads the book. But I will tell you, when the Bible says, if you take away the words of this book, like, no, Jesus is not coming back quickly, Jesus was wrong here, let me straighten you out, all I can say, you might find your name taken out of the book of life. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. So if you got a problem with it, I'm sorry, everyone. Read Revelation 22. It's very clear what he's saying there. He's saying, if you say that Jesus is not coming quickly or suddenly, or not coming at all, as an example, I just tell people be very, very careful, because I read the rest of that chapter. I don't want to take a chance. Well, I don't think there's a, well, you got to ask yourself, do you feel lucky? Because that's one of the great problems. You know, when you tamper with God's word, that's serious. Now, it's one thing, as a person in church to believe wrongly, they were taught something wrong. It's another thing to teach it. Because if you don't know what you're talking about in your teaching, stop teaching. Hope that helps, Linda.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Read Revelation 22, and you'll get a very clear understanding. When Jesus said he can come back at any time, I'm not going to say he can't come back at any time. And yet that's what these people are doing. Very, very scary. Stay in line. I'll send you out some books, DVDs, and get that out to you. So we have Mitch and Brandon and Tricia and Teresa on the line, and we're not going to be able to get to you, but I promise you, if you call tomorrow, right when we start, we'll get to your question. And I want to thank you for waiting, and that didn't go in vain. You take frontline tomorrow, and so if you'll call us back first thing, I'll be glad to put you on first thing. And just want to say thanks, Greg, for being on today.
Yeah, I always enjoy it. See you next time.
Remember, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Good night.
Or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226. Or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.